for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, August the 29th, 2014. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service, teaching on Repentance Must Be Granted.
Lord, we thank you for this morning and all that your presence has already been so wonderful. Thank you. Speak in our hearts, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit cut deep this morning. Praise God in Jesus' name. Amen. Now John, in John 8, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The thing is, people, what's their idea of truth? And usually it's an idea they came up with or they heard somewhere. But we have to take the whole scripture. If we back up and see what Jesus said, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
So not everyone can claim that. There's a process, there's conditions there to the truth setting us free.
Amen.
Continuing in the word, being his disciple, which involves so much, and it's not a part-time disciple either. Most people have a mixture. Their doctrine is some kind of mixture. It's a buffet line. Pick out and choose what they want and think what they want. But we want to know truth and continue his word. Now I want to talk to you this morning about repentance must be granted. Repentance must be granted. 2 Timothy 2:25, he says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's an awful thing, oppose your own self. People do that all the time. If God prevents or perhaps will give or grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, when we humble ourselves and repent, we are acknowledging or we're admitting or confessing that God is truth, that every man's a liar. Let every man be a liar and God be truth, Scripture says. In Acts 11:15, and as I began to speak, this is Peter, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the life gift, what is that? In chapter 10, you see that while he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's what he's referring to. And so God gave them the life gift as he did to us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I that I could withstand or oppose God? There's a lot of that going on. Withstanding or opposing God. When they heard, you know, people say, I would never do that to God. We, in the building that we're renovating for people who come for restoration, I let a young man come and stay there, and it was a bad experience. He brought a friend that I knew both of them for a long time. And they were sitting upstairs in air conditioning, eating popcorn and chips and drinking Coke and watching TV, and we're down there sweating. And I don't like that. It doesn't sit with me. So I began to pray, Lord, how can I get him out of here? And, the Lord helped me. You know what he did? He stole about $500 worth of tools. That's how I got him out of there. But anyway, I went to look, cut some of the chops off. And I couldn't find it. I feel like a fool. I'm walking all over that big building, 5,000 square foot, looking for a chop saw. I can't find it. And I said, you see my chop saw? He said, well, what's a chop saw? Well, he knew what it was. He didn't take it, take it to the pawn shop along with a lot of other things. And so then I said, well, I'll cut it some other way. I said, okay, I'm going to get the nailer, which I've been using, the nailer on the wall. I couldn't find it. And I said, John,
shouldn't say his name, but it's Long John. John! I said, you wouldn't take my tools with you. Brother Pence and I would never do that to you. Well, I said, okay, maybe somebody party. You know? And so then I went to do something, and I thought, where's my cordless drill? I just bought a brand new set, $100 set. Where's that at? So I had hid it in the room. I put him in a room, he moves to another room. That's already telling you something right there. You don't ask, he just does it. And so I went to that room, I knocked on the door, and said, John, can I have my, I need to get my drill. He walks over exactly where I had it and looks around, nowhere else, looks around and said, all I see here is my clothes. I said, I know, you stole that. Well, I went home, my daughter is a dispatcher from the police department. And so she called the sheriff's department because we're out at 12 miles out of town. And they met me out there and I told them what happened. And he said, I have permission to go in there. I said, yes, they're up there. And I know they stole. And about 15 minutes come back and put him in handcuffs. And he's begging me not to press charges. Oh, but since I was going to get him tomorrow, he admitted what he did. He also had drugs on him. I was going to go get him tomorrow. Please, Brother Pence. He's a hollering and a crying. And they put him in the sheriff's truck. You know, in Texas, we had trucks. You know, that's what they chase people with. And so he's in there hollering and a carrying on. But I'm sorry. Well, why am I saying all that? Why am I saying all that? Praise God. We can say all kinds of things. You know, we can claim all kinds of things and fool people. We can't fool God. And I tell you what, God will show you things. I want you to understand that God will show you things. And God got him out of there in handcuffs, but God got him out of there. Praise God. So he gave him a life gift. And who could have hoped to withstand God? And he was doing that, but he didn't know he was doing it. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles, listen to this, granted repentance to life. Granted repentance to life. Now, just confessing is not enough. Look at these. I'm going to try to explain this. What we can say is, well, I'm saved, God's granted me this, God's done that. Where's your confirmation? And it ought to be found in person in your life, the life you're living. But again, then people can fake all that. But God did something there at Cornelius' house that confirmed something they could have never done. But God confirmed that he granted them repentance. What did he do? He sent the Holy Spirit upon those people, and they were speaking in tongues. God confirmed it. Confirmation from God is a wonderful thing. And I don't know about you. Now, in my life, I failed God a lot of times. I've sinned. I've done things I shouldn't have done. I've disobeyed God. And maybe I'm different, but, you know, there's the process of repentance and getting through that repentance, because I've got to. I cannot stand not having the presence of God. That's what keeps me straight. I want his presence. I taste it. It's good. Well, it's not about, keeping my position as a pastor. It's not about anything else. But primarily it's about that. And so, it's such a relief when his presence returns. You know what I'm talking about. You're going to go through hours, days, you're out there in no man's land, can't feel his presence. Sometimes it comes immediately after you repent and confess, but, when it does come, oh, praise God. Okay, now, you know, he's forgiven me. He's granted me repentance. Not just because I said so. Not just because I claim it. Not just because I confess it. But I know because his presence is there. And you can't fake his presence. You make other people think you have it, but you know. I hope you know. Whether his presence is there or not. Now, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me say this morning, and this is not going to be easy, this message, but let me say this. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost right now, the root problem is a lack of true repentance. A lack of true repentance. And you may sing in the choir, you may preach behind a pulpit, you may do all kinds of things. But if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you know, they come to a point where they can teach people how to do all this. Just teach them and they can make it through. Someone said that most churches don't operate just fine without God. I mean, just get right on through it, you know. And the stupid people out there don't know the difference. Because they're just life and they're all the same. And so praise God. Peter and all the apostles knew that there was a requirement. And there was a condition of repentance. I'm sorry for saying stupid. But anybody that, if you go to hell, you're stupid. You are. Another good word is fool. Okay?
Amen.
But it just, sometimes you just need to call it what it is. They knew there was a requirement, a condition of repentance that must be met before anyone could receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have to repent first. You say, I just don't know why God doesn't do me the Holy Spirit. Well, you got a choice. You can repent or you can go somewhere where they teach you how to speak in tongues. And you think you've got it. But repent. The gifts of God are not free. You hear me? They're not free. Are unmerited gifts, as someone claimed. I hear them say the free pardon of sin. No, there's no such thing as a free pardon of sin. To be this, the pardon of sin has to be earned. Not by establishing self-righteousness now, but by submission to the Holy Spirit. That's how you earn it. Now, just hang with me. I know some of you already, well, I just know what I've been taught, but you just stay in here. Every gift that God promises to us has conditions attached to them and requirements demanded before they're given. Every gift. And that includes salvation, grace, healing, the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit, deliverance from unclean spirits, and even eternal life. Nothing is free unless we qualify. You can't get food stamps, free food, without qualifying. Do you know that?
Right.
Nothing is free. This promised gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit has conditions attached, requirements demanded, and the predominant requirement is repentance. I know there's tarrying, asking, faith, obedience, yield, and so forth. Now, the fact that the Holy Spirit fell on those at Cornelius' house, and that they spoke in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, or gave them the words to say, which they did not understand, was proof to Peter and all the apostles that God had granted repentance to the Gentiles. You can't make anything else out of that. It was proof to them. We know that God's granted them repentance. How do we know? Because we heard them speak in tongues as we did. And we didn't teach them how. First, we must understand he was preaching it just happened. First, we must understand that repentance must be granted because our efforts at repenting must meet God's requirements and conditions to be accepted by Him. Just because I'm going to get ahead in some of it, and I'm going to repeat some things. But just because you worship doesn't mean God accepts it.
That's right.
Now, the necessity of repentance. Repentance concerning sin and simple practices is essential to our being reconciled to God. Does everyone that tries to repent, is it granted? No. Esau. Read that Hebrews 12. With tears, he sought a place of repentance, but he could not find it. Well, God just has to grant. No, he does not. God do what he wants to do. There's some people who miss their day of visitation. Some people cross the line. So, you're not making me feel very good. Well, repent. You know, that's what we must do. I must do. You must do. Now, the description of a truly repentant person is that they manifest holiness. Manifest holiness, 1 Chronicles 16:29. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring it off and come before Him and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 34, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Well, I believe this reading, you know, holiness must be important to God. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. I need to stop and say something there. If you're watching stuff on TV, and well, I'm not doing it, I'm just watching it. Well, Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So there you are. Okay, whatever it is. If you, God hates violence. You sit there and enjoy the blood and guts and gore. And then God hates that. So why are we watching it? Okay, so he said, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, these verses actually give us a biblical definition of holiness, which is to be clean from all filthiness of the flesh, speaking of our body, and of our spirit. This process of cleansing ourselves describes the true work of repentance. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. How do we get from uncleanness of our body and spirit to holiness? By repenting. That's where we begin. Turning away from sin. To repent actually means turn around and go the other way. It's not just saying I'm sorry for what I did and then continuing to do it. That's not repentance. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Here's another aspect of true holiness. It's to live in peace with all men. No one is holy unless they're at peace with all men. How important is repentance? It's as important as holiness. Without repentance, we're not holy. And if we're not holy, then we'll never see the Lord, now or in eternity. I tell you, you can go to all the worship services, hear all the good music you want, but unless we're holy, we cannot see the Lord. We might get worked up emotionally. I mean, I was listening, a friend of mine was telling me the church he goes to, and they keep two songs in reserve. And one of them is, go back to the devil's camp and get what he stole from you. If nothing's happened, they'll sing that one. Oh, they'll get excited on that one. Just, you know, the Holy Spirit's not moving in you, do it for him. And the other one is, we came to church to worship or something, and he sang a little of it, and that'll get them all worked up. I don't practice that. I know one thing, the Holy Ghost is big enough to do what he wants to do. And I'm not going to make something phony so people want to come back. Maybe the need is not for them to feel good, but they need to repent. They're sitting there with a heavy load of guilt on them, but trying to act like it's not there. You know, that'll crush you. That'll push you down. Praise God. Amen? It will. Now, 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Unholy people thinking they're going to a holy heaven. It's like, well, when the rapture takes place, or I die, whatever, God's just going to sprinkle magic dust on me, and between here and heaven, I'm going to be changed. Yes, our body's going to be changed, but it's not going to be changed. We're going nowhere unless we've been changed already. As a tree falls, so shall it lie, the scripture says. Now's the time to repent. Now's the time. Don't you want to repent? To see or be accepted in the presence of a holy God, we must be as holy. We must be holy as he's holy. Now, repentance cleanses. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. Oh, my. People are, quote, oh, I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Then the more temple of the Holy Ghost than one of those chairs is. Just because we say it, just because somebody told us that, just because we think it, just because we wish it, there are conditions. Listen, this, if you're going to make heaven, I'm going to make heaven. We're going to have to be serious about this and pay attention to it, focus on it, and get our minds off this world and everything that's in it. Praise God. Some people make salvation easier than going to college. Yeah. Well, you're going to be a doctor. You're going to spend years, I don't know how many years, 16 years, whatever it is, 12, 16 years to be a doctor. But you can go to heaven, there's nothing to it. Just walk down the aisle, shake a preacher's hand, you're in. No, that's not so. Praise God. We have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, praise God. Now, this is hard, but it'll do good. It'll do good. Praise God. Now, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, verse 20, for you're bought with a price. If you could just think somebody bought you. Now, oh, he bought me so I can have fun, so I can enjoy life. I can't stand for them. And thank God, I don't think I've ever heard it here.
But oh, this is fun. Come here, this is fun. And we have a fun church, and we have fun in our church. And as some people, they say, well, my children like to go to that big church over there because the kids have fun. Yeah, but we lay hands on them, and we pray over them, and we prophesy over them. And I don't think they do that over there. I know they don't, but anyway. But they're having fun. When I took my daughter, I thought she ought to go to the same Bible college I did, and I took her there, or, you know, when the students could come visit the college. You know what I call college days, whatever they call it. And so I went, and I wasn't there but a few minutes, and I realized, wow, something's changed here. What is this? I mean, they were dressing different. They act different. They did a lot of things different that wasn't allowed when I was there. Well, we went to an assembly the next morning, and they kept emphasizing, this is fun. Come to our college. This is fun. You'll have fun at our college. And I thought, that's not why I went. God called me in the ministry, and I went to prepare. That's not why I went. So anyway, we're not a cowboy church, fun church, motorcycle church, or any of those churches. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'd rather have the presence of God. And I know one pastor, not far from me, they had the motorcycles up on the platform, and he told me, I went over, he wanted to borrow a tent from us. I took it over there, and they're setting all that up. And so he said, I want you to come see this. He had his motorcycles at Harley Davidson. And he said, we're going to crank them up and ride them down the aisle when the service is over. Oh, my God. I wouldn't trade the presence of God for all that, John. I heard of a cowboy church, they ride their horse in there, pastor, and the preacher rides his horse in there. Well, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know of a cowboy church, a man used to go to our church, went over there, and they had him back to drinking after 20-something years of not drinking. Didn't take long, any of the people over there had him drinking. He still goes there with his drinking buddies. Well, anyway, it's a big church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, we're bought with a price, therefore glorify God or be like or express God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, we belong to God, not just identification. I hate that. I'm identifying with Christ. So what does that mean? Identifying with Christ. He might not want to identify with you, but you're identifying with Christ. That's something you're doing. That's not something he's doing. We can do all we want to do, still split hell wide open. I'm identifying with Christ. It's more than identifying. It's more than in name, but it's by submission. Submitting to him. Our whole purpose for existing is to express or to become like Christ. That's not something you go learn somewhere in a discipleship class. Brother Clinton didn't say this teaching sinners how to act like a Christian. Who is it? Become like Christ is the express image of the Father. Not our idea of expressing him. Not something we learned in a class or read in a book or some other teaching. Now, in this scripture, bought with a price, we see again the principle of cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of our body and spirit, which belongs to him. This principle is not optional, but it's an absolute requirement because we have been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Not purchased to have fun, but purchased to become like him. To be the bride of Christ. We must, in fact, live a life of continual repentance or repent. Live a life of repentance. Stay in repentance. Some may believe that repentance is a one-time action. And that once we repented, we never need to repent again. And that's what they teach. That your sins, all your sins are forgiven. Past, present, and future. They're all forgiven already. Isn't that wonderful? Now I just go do what I want to, because it's forgiven. Now, it could be true that we could repent one time. But since we continue to sin, and John, first chapter says if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. Truth is not in us. Since we continue to sin, we must continue to cleanse ourselves, which means we must continue to repent. 1 John 1:5. This is the message that we've heard of him. But it's not that message we hear from many preachers. Just believe, receive, or profess, or confess Christ, or say a sinner's prayer. You know,
I was in a meeting. I was listening to a preacher, and it was a presentation. I want you to know that. Emotional. Oh, what an orator. And it got to the end, and I'm smelling something. Something's not wrong about this. And so he gets to the end, he said, all you got to do is believe on Jesus and receive him. That's not true. It's easy. And everybody can do that. The devil believes. He believes in cripples. We're not saved. But that's what he said at the end of that. But see, Brother Clinton, one time he was praying for a man. A man came down, he had cigarettes, and he said, if you smoke, I'm sorry, but you know, you need to quit smoking. And I'm not sorry, you need to quit smoking. So he said, I want to be delivered from these cigarettes. He said, okay, I'm going to pray with you. And it was a lay of cigarettes right there. Okay. So he said, now you pray, you repeat after me. He said, okay. Now this is not the sinner's prayer that people repent, by the way. I mean, to repeat. So he's saying, Lord, forgive me for smoking. Lord, forgive me for smoking. Lord, I will never smoke another cigarette in my life. Silence. Why aren't you going to say it? I said, say it. He couldn't say it. He said, well, you might as well go on. We're wasting time here. That's a prayer of repentance. I'm never going to do this again. By God's grace. By the way, a few days later, he came back and said, I'm ready to pray that prayer. Hallelujah. You want God to help you, you're going to have to do it His way. His way. We're not in charge of anything. I want you to understand this one. We are not in charge of anything.
Amen.
It's His way or no way. Praise God. And we can't know His way if we never pick up the book and read it. Glory to God. Now, this is a message we heard of Him and declare to you that God is light. He's holy, righteous, and in Him is no darkness at all. There's no unholiness or unrighteousness in Him. If we say, or if we think or believe that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not speak the truth. But if we walk in the light, that's holiness, truth, righteousness, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, or with Him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His sin, cleanses us from all sin. Now again, it's not our idea of holiness, righteousness. You know, I'm just hiding behind the Lord, and God doesn't see me, He just sees the Lord, and I'm back here doing my sin, but He don't see that. It's not that stuff. It's not that identifying. It's what are we, and what are we doing? How are we living this life? And so, he's saying here, His blood, let me say, His blood does not cleanse our sins unless we're walking in the light. No matter how much we pray, how many deliverance sessions we go to, any of that stuff, unless we're walking in the light as He's in the light.
Yes.
Now, I realize I don't have all the light. He's going to reveal it to me as I walk on with Him. And I've heard this here, and it's good, it's true. This is, I preach this. He doesn't show us everything at once. Thank God He doesn't. It'd be overwhelming, wouldn't it be?
Yes.
Now, you can sit around and wonder about and worry. Oh, God, what am I doing? I don't know I'm doing it. Don't do that. You just walk in the light that He's shown you. Deal with that and you're okay.
Yes.
If you deal with what He's shown you, you're okay. Praise God. Don't manufacture something. Don't.
Amen.
God, praise God. I'll tell you, God's for us and He wants us to make it.
Yes.
But it'll be His way, not our way.
Amen.
Now, here's the theme of this message this morning. Repentance must be granted. By saying granted, we're admitting that repentance is not automatic. But it must be granted by God because we've earned it by faith and obedience. The obedience is to walk in the light. His holiness, His truth, His righteousness, not ours. But then and only then can the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from any and all sin, or cover, or take away our sin. You say, well, Brother Vincent, are you saying this morning that I'm not forgiven? His blood doesn't cover my sin? See, we're not forgiven unless His blood covers our sin. You saying that? Well, I'm going to say this. If you're not walking the light, no, your sin is not forgiven. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear you. And He also said your sin has separated you from your God, and He will not hear you. Repentance is not, okay, I'm going to go ask, I've actually heard people say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me. That's presumptuous. It is rebellious. And I don't know where the line is when God cuts us off. You don't know either. You don't know. It's amazing. You can read the scripture and some people seem like God just cut them off the first thing that he did. And some people he put up with it for a long time. I don't know. It's his business. It's not mine. Just don't presume. Well, I've always, it's like Samson, I always shook myself before and I'll just shake myself again. Well, you shake it might not work. You know, mine might not work. Now, praise God. The grace of God must be earned. I'm going to talk about grace because I just get infuriated when I hear this unmerited favor thing. It's a lie of it's a hell. Ephesians 2:8, by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. A lady came, a lady I was talking to her, and she's talking, and she just, tears started rolling up in her eyes. And she was talking to me, and she was, how thankful she was. She had learned that salvation comes by the grace of God, which she had recently learned was an unmerited favor of God towards her. She heard that somewhere, I don't know if it's that guy, Prince on TV or whoever. But anyway, she had found out that grace was unmerited favor of God, and now everything's okay. She said, I've struggled, I knew what was doing right, and things in my life, and I was so worried, but I heard that it's unmerited favor. And she was so happy. She had repented, but she found out, according to what she was hearing, she said, are you understand what I'm saying? Unmerited favor of God. Now God accepts me just as I am. But look at the rich young ruler. Okay, the rich young ruler. He said, what must I do to be saved? He said, well, keep the commandments. And so he was willing to justify himself, which people do. We all attempt that some justify ourselves, comparing ourselves with someone else, always someone that's doing worse than us. But, you know, that's how we operate. Well, he got through that speech, and the Lord and he said, the Lord loved him. The Lord loves us. And he said, well, here's what you got to do. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Did he do it? No, he didn't. He said he walked away sorrowful, for he was rich. He walked away. Jesus did not chase him down, by the way. I grew up in Sunday school. We had one pastor. He figured out this awesome thing. And he had these cards, different colors. And it started out like green, yellow, red. If they miss one time, you send them this card. Next time, you send them this. And if they miss three times, it's the red. It's alert now. And invite them back to church. Well, Jesus didn't do that. You want to walk away? Walk away. You don't want this? Fine. But I'm not changing anything. You'll do it my way. You'll do what I said. I have nothing to do with you. Walk away. I'm gonna tell you, you can go find a church to send in that tell you it's unmerited favor and you're okay and it doesn't matter. And you just come here and pay your tithes and show up, you know, like a good member, and you're okay. But the Lord's not gonna say that. He did not grant that young man repentance. Because why? Because he wouldn't obey. He wouldn't submit. I'm telling you this morning that repentance has to be granted. Pray all we want to pray. Say, I cry tears. I've seen them in my church cry and so far down that I was shaking that altar. I know I'm thinking I see him right now, one young man. Well, he's older now, got kids. He'll call me every once in a while, brother, in tears. Brother, this is a prayer for me. He still hasn't repented. All these years, wasted, messed up life, messed up marriages, kids messed up. It takes true repentance. Now, she was happy because now she had learned it didn't matter how she lived. For all was forgiven. She was accepted because of God's unmerited favor. That's what she was telling me. Because of what Jesus did. But you know what? His blood cannot cleanse unless we're walking in the light. God's not unmerited favor. By the way, I just need to say this. Now, I'm not bashing that woman. I need to tell you that. Because so many are believing that now. Unmerited favor. Doesn't matter what I do, I have the favor of God. That's not what the definition of grace. That's
once someone's made up. An old Baptist pastor is spirit-filled and preaching, but he told me they're just, people are parroting, even ministers are parroting what they heard. Yes. Are you a parrot? Are you just parroting what you heard? Are you going to God and finding out what the truth of that thing is? Mm-hmm. It may sound good, make you feel good. Well, who wouldn't feel good if somebody told him, don't worry about your sin. You got unmerited favor. You got grace and you're okay. Make you feel good, won't it? But it won't last. It won't last. Now, grace is not unmerited favor, or it's not free from being earned. Look at Noah. Genesis 6:9, Noah was a just and perfect man in his generations. Noah walked with God. He walked with God. In other words, he walked in the light as God is in the light. Noah found grace, the scripture says, in the eyes of the Lord. Why? The scripture says because he was a righteous man. A man that walked in the light. That's why he found grace. He was a preacher of righteousness. He did not find unmerited favor. God didn't look around and say, well, this, who am I going to shower with my unmerited favor? Oh, Noah, you look like a good man. Noah earned the grace of God. Come on now, it's in there, it's evident. He walked with God, so he got grace. He was righteous, so he got grace. And how dare someone that's a sinner and planning on keeping on sinning, but they're going to be a Christian too, say they got grace. Then God needs to apologize to Noah. Because he made Noah, he didn't make him, Noah wanted to, I believe that, walk in the light, praise God. Walk in holiness and purity. Grace, what is grace? Grace is the influence or power of God that works salvation, that produces the image of Christ in those that repent by faith. That's what grace is. Grace, I just use it to say grace is the power of God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. We please God by hearing that we need to repent. We'll hear it. We'll listen. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And then faith are obeying and proceeding to repent. Turn from our sin. Cleanse our body and spirit. I just can't quit. You can too. If you want to, I can't help it. Yes, you can. Liar, you can too. You can stop. You can stop what you're doing. God would not require us to do something we couldn't do. We don't want to. I tell you, you want to know where I get all this? I've lived through it. God has worked this in me. I tried all that stuff. You know, excuses and things. I'll tell you one thing, my heart this morning, I want to be right with God.
Amen.
I want to be right with God, and I don't want to believe a lie and go to hell.
Amen.
Remember Brother Clinton had that dream, vision, of a man going through hell, pulling men up by the hair of the head, looking for the preacher that lied to him, put him in hell. Now, if we repent according to the requirements of God, then he will grant repentance and save or cleanse us from our sins and reconcile us to himself by the blood of Jesus. If God does not grant us repentance, then we're not saved because the blood of Jesus has not cleansed us from our sin or all unrighteous. We must stop sinning so that he can take away the things that are written against us. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Salvation is not of ourselves. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. That's self-righteousness, going about to establish our own righteousness. Romans 10:3, rather than submit to the righteousness of God. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now this scripture is not saying that we're not required to do works of righteousness, but that the works of righteousness are the work of God. The work of God. The Spirit of God working in us to will and do this good pleasure. The work of God is the washing of regeneration. Or as Jesus said, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, John 15:3. If we could understand that we could be clean by continuing in his word. I don't feel clean. Are you in the word? The word will cleanse you. Jesus said it. It cleanses us, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Don't we ask people to raise their hand right now, even in here? How many would say, I'm in that word, David? I'm in that word. I was listening to a preacher, and he said he went to his doctor. His doctor's a spiritual man, and he does all he's naming all the good works he does. And he said, when he got through it, he said, now, he said, if they took the Bible away from us, do you have enough of the Word of God in you, that you could draw on? And so, this is what the preacher said while he was preaching. He said, I was convicted, and I ran to my truck in tears and repented. And, why? Because he said, because I don't have enough of the Word of God in me to draw on. And I'm sitting there, and you may think whatever you want to think, but I said, not me, brother. It's in there, and I can draw on. What are you doing preaching to people passing the church if you don't have the Word of God in you to draw on? Oh, hallelujah. How can he bring to our remembrance the things he's spoken to us if we never read it? I mean, you know, remembrance. That's like praying for a test if you didn't study. Test, oh God, please let me pass this test. You said you bring my remembrance. Oh, wait a minute. You didn't study. How can you bring it to our remembrance? I was, if the Lord lets me preach it, a sermon he has given me, and I just want to tell you this. I was working on that sermon and I was getting paid. Oh. I was kidding, man. I'd get interrupted and have to go do something. And I just couldn't, all the time I'm thinking about what he's given me. He's put in me. That word. And I couldn't wait to get back and get to it again. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Does the word of God mean that to you? Oh, just God. Oh, it's just feeding me. There's an old pastor I went and visited his home. And, he's like we weren't even there. But he, that morning, before we got there, he had read in John 6, where they asked, well, what is the work of God? He said, this is the work of God that you believe on me. That's it. This is the work of God that you believe on me. Well, I thought I had to do this and that. No, that you believe on me. And he's walking around, and I can still see the dear old gentleman. His head's up, he's in heavenly places. He's just, oh, you know, because he read that and God made it real to him and he's feeding on that. You ever feed on the Word of God like that? Is it better to you than steak? Is it better to you than the best dish of food you can think of? I'd rather have that Smith Wigglesworth. You know, they never ate till he got that Bible out and he read it a little while. They're sitting there, oh, the food's getting cold. Oh, there's some better food right here. Not only that, a little while he'd stop. Okay, everybody stop. You can read that there's a lot of his books over there. I recommend them all. He'd stop. Oh, wait a minute. Time to eat the word. Open that Bible and read some more. They'd have to put the forks and everything down and listen to that a little bit. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the Lord defeated the devil on that. He did. Praise God. The word of God. Now, praise God. Not works of righteousness that we have done. Thank you, Jesus. The renewal of the Holy Ghost is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Now, Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which works in you both to will and do his good pleasure. God works in us. Thank God. Become this very thing that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ our Lord. Philippians 1:6. Oh, thank God for that. Both those come out of Philippians. Good book. It is an awesome book, you know. It's in chapter 2, he tells about having the mind of Christ, what that is. Chapter 3, he talks about, I'll let everything go, count it as done, that I might win Christ. That's a good book. All of it's good. And how does God work in us? By his grace. By the power of the Holy Spirit in us, revealing the things of Christ. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. Power. Or grace. After the Holy Ghost has come on you. Let me give you a challenge. Take that definition of the merited favor, try to put it in verses where it says grace. You know what? Exchange it, see if it'll work. Won't work. It just won't work. Because it doesn't mean that. It doesn't even mean it in Ephesians, where it says, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God. By the power of God are you saved. By faith. Not by unmerited favor are you saved through faith, but by the power of God. John 1:12, he says, many received him, to them he gave power, or grace. It says power, become the sons of God. I know the modern translation says right or authority, but I'll tell you what, it takes power to become the son of God. It takes power. It did for me. It takes power. You'll see power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me, not for me, but to me. You're going to be what I am. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. John 16:13-14, however, when he, you know, John 14:15-17 through there, those are just hours before Jesus was arrested and crucified. Powerful things he was saying to us there. But he tells us that, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will, that's the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself or out of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. That's what we need to do. And he shall show you things to come. And he shall glorify or reveal me. For he shall receive of mine and show it to you. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory, that means the revelation, expression of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, or revelation to revelation, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You want to know how to be changed in the same image as Christ? The Holy Spirit revealing Christ in you. In us. Showing us Christ. So, here we are. He shows us Christ, and then we have a choice. Are we going to continue to be what we are? Are we going to stop that, repent of that, and be what he's showing us? This is what he is. This is what he is. Changes us. Now, what is the gift of God? He said it's the gift of God. It's salvation or repentance granted to those that truly repent. Now, 1 John 1:8, if we say, we think, we believe, we declare, even just if we just do it in our heart, that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, that self-deception, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is repentance granted. Praise God. Confess. Quit blaming somebody else. Quit blaming your parents. Quit blaming your husband. Quit blaming your wife. Quit blaming the circumstances. Confess. I did it. Forgive me, Lord. I'm guilty. Praise God. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Therefore, no repentance is granted. And in chapter 2, verse 1, going on there, my little children, these things I write to you that you sin not. Now, Psalm 119:11 says, your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Oh, we're talking about the word again, aren't we? Shall not live by bread alone, for by the word proceeds out of the mouth of God. You hide his word in your heart. He said that you sin not. I write to you so that you sin not. In other places, he said, I write to you that your joy may be full. The word of God, you know the word of God will do that for you? Give you joy? You don't have to sing a song about jumping for joy to get joy. His word will give you joy. And if any man does sin, we have an advocate or his representative with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now we need this advocate, the Lord, Jesus Christ, to plead our case before the Heavenly Father, that he might grant to us repentance from sins. I'm telling you, there's a sin in heaven, and when we confess our sin, we come clean before God. Our heart is right. Jesus, he is our advocate. He turns to the Father and says, Father, grant them repentance. Just because we say it, just because we wish it, doesn't mean it happens. We have to be granted repentance. And I want to ask you this morning, being honest in your heart, do you know that you've been granted repentance? Let me say this, if you're walking with your head down, and you still have condemnation on you, and things are still not right in your life, could it be that you haven't been granted repentance? You can stand behind the pulpit and preach and not have been granted repentance. We can go through the motion. We can do what we've learned to do. I tell you what, our lives will change when we're granted repentance. And we'll know we've been. Just like they did in Cornelius' house. Because the presence of God, our God, came on them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, thank you, Jesus. And Jesus Christ is a propitiation of Christ's faith for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, if they'll receive them. Now, how does God grant repentance? Or who does he grant it to? Again, only to those that walk in obedience to the light. Just because we ask God to grant us repentance does not guarantee they will. No more than if we ask him to do anything else, healing, finances, whatever, does not mean that he will. Oh, really? Yes. Praise God. Ask and you shall receive. Yes, but you read the rest of it. There's conditions. There are conditions. I'm not trying to discourage you this morning. I want to tell you the truth. Have you been granted repentance? You can just keep going to deliverance sessions. But until you're granted repentance, nothing's going to work for me or you. Now, there are requirements to be met. It's not faith alone. No matter how hard we try to have enough faith or the right kind of faith. Read some books on it, you know, whatever. James 2, 20 and 24, faith without works is dead. You see how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Just because we confess Christ, profess Christ, come into faith in Christ, that's a lot of the terms they use now, walk the church out, say the sinner's prayer, or whatever a minister requires us to do, does not guarantee that God will grant us repentance. I'll tell you what, and I'm sad to admit it, but I baptize a lot of people in water, and it's still not right with God. Still not right with God. But that activity has little to do with repentance. Little to do. You know what it is? It's a selfish motive on their part to escape the wrath of God. That's what it's about. Or to get the good things or the goodies that God has. That's what it's all about. Oh, you come down here and do this and you go to heaven. Well, who wouldn't want to do that? That's pretty good. That's a good deal. I think I'll sign up for that one. You know, that's good. Insurance, fire help, hellfire insurance. And I'm not against you walking down the aisle, but I'm just saying that, don't think that's it. Psalm 66:18, if I regard or cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And then again, Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities, that's lawlessness, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. We make great prayers of repentance and do penance. Do penance. You know, that's back before Martin Luther and the Reformation. That's how the Catholic Church got so rich and built all those cathedrals. You know, you go sit in that booth and, oh, I did this, I did. My wife was raised Catholic. She said you used to make up things because you had to do that before you go take communion. So she'd make up some stories and tell the priest. He's okay, do this, do that. But anyway, that's what she said. But penance, you had to do penance, but actually then it was money. Hey man, that's $5. That's, and then I did just, oh, that's a big $50, you know. Really, that's what they were doing. You had to pay penance. Now, but God knows if we intend to quit committing that sin. He knows. Or if we just want forgiveness and then in time, when it's convenient, we'll do it again. We'll do it again. 2 Corinthians 7:10, for godly sorrow, that's grief and mourning, produces repentance leading to salvation, or repentance granted. A repentance not to be regretted or gone back on, but the sorrow, grief, shame, regret of the world finally produces death. I've pastored long enough to see them. They get caught. Maybe their wife caught them cheating on them, or this or that, whatever, they got caught. Oh, here they come. They ain't been to church in a while. Here they come with their Bible, big Bible. It's always a big Bible. And sit there and oh my. But you know, when things finally settle down and the wife says okay and whatever, and then where are they? They faded back out. That won't work with God.
Amen.
It's like, I'll never do that thing again.
Yeah.
I'm never going back to that again. We can do it if we want to with God's help.
Yeah.
We must possess a proper attitude toward our need to repent to God and before God. The proper attitude is one of deep regret and humility because we wronged God. Not because we got caught or were suffering in some way on account of what we did. Jailhouse religion, some of them call it. There's one young man in prison I knew before he went. He was writing over, he wanted to write to me and write. And so I'd write back to him. And as soon as I get out of here, I'll be in church. He never came one time. Never one time. But he went back to his other, you know, stuff he was doing. Went back to that. I'm sorry. I don't want that to happen. Do you? I want them to repent. But see, they don't know the difference. They got caught in their... It's when you know I hurt God. I disappointed God. It does matter, but you know, it's not about these... I tell you what, it's all about Jesus. It's all about the one that died for us and paid the price for us to be forgiven and granted repentance. Our deep regret and humility must not be toward others first, but toward God. Psalm 51:4. Just going and trying to make things right with people will not automatically make it right with God. What did David say? Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. Being sorrowful because we hurt someone is by nature a selfish motive. And not wanting to lose a relationship or the benefits coming from God or from other people. Repentance must include regret over sin and a deep desire for forgiveness concerning our sin, but it must also include a deep desire not to repeat that sinful practice. Now, whose terms of repentance? We must not attempt to take our repentance into our own hands or design or orchestrate our own path to repentance. True repentance should produce reconciliation to God, but always on His terms, not ours. We must not attempt to dictate the conditions of our repentance or a timetable which we think might lead to reconciliation to God. In Numbers 14:39, you know what they did? They bought, rebelled, wouldn't go in the promised land. They're going to stone Moses and elect a new leader and go back to Egypt. Isn't that about stupid? Go back to Egypt. But that's what they're going to do. And Moses totally says to the children of Israel what the punishment, the, you know, I say punishment. You know, in Adam and Eve, and by the sweat of your brow, thorns and thistles, and she's going to have pain in childbirth and all. Now, whatever, this is what God showed me. That was not punishment. That was God's kindness. Because he said in Acts 17, to God set boundaries and limitations on men that they might seek after God and perhaps find Him. So God is, he's setting it up, and I don't know if you can recognize in your life or not, I know I have in mine. There are things I was born with. That God, it wasn't punishment. Well, what have I done to deserve this? No. God's putting some clamps on you, some limitations on you, so you'll seek after Him. It's not punishment. It's His kindness toward us. Well, why do I have to look like this? Or why do I have to whatever? Oh, it's the kindness of God. Thank God for it. Quit being angry about it. Thank you, Jesus. You cared enough to restrain me in some way, limit me, that I would turn toward you. We have a choice. We can get bitter, or we can turn to God. Praise God. Whichever. The old saying, bitter or better, we can get bitter or better, but whichever. Now, praise God. He tells them what's going to have to happen. The people mourned chapter greatly, and they rose up early. Here's what they mess up. They rose early in the morning, got them up to the top of the mountain, said, see, we be here, and we go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have seen. So what are they doing? Their own process, agenda of repentance, not God's. Their timetable, not God's. This is what I'm going to do. This is the way I'm going to get there. This is it. I'm going to do it. You understand? They heard what God said, but they don't like it. So they're going to devise their own repentance. Say a sinner's prayer, walk the aisle. Like the preacher, I told you, I was listening to him. At the end, he said, just believe on the Lord and receive Him. Why didn't he say repent? Why didn't he say repent? Where has that gone to? When's the last time you heard that? Repent. Well, they're going to repent, but they're in their own way. So they got all this figured out. They must have stayed up all night. Now we're going to right or wrong. And Moses said, why do you transgress the commandment? What was the commandment? Conditions and timetable of reconciliation. God, they had to wander in that wilderness 40 years to let some of them die, but you know what? At the end of 40 years, they were a different group of people. Not just because those other, the children, those 20 and under, they're ready to go in. That other bunch wouldn't go in. You don't want to cooperate with God? Hey, just like the rich young, you want to walk away from him because you don't like his conditions? It's not like, oh, poor God, what's he going to do now? I walked away. You know what? If there's just one person would get saved, Jesus would have went to that cross. So don't think we're holding something over him. He needs me. No, he don't need us. We need him. We need him. We're all facing hell. Eternity in hell. If we don't find this God, repent, and it's granted to us, repentance, isn't that the truth? Oh my, this is serious business, isn't it? You mean this is not fun? No, it's not. Praise God. But it'll be glorious. Glorious. Now, why do you transgress the commandment of God? But it shall not prosper. Who do we think we are telling God how things are going to work? Go not up, for the Lord's not among you, that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword. He's prophesying to them, isn't he? Because you're turned away from the Lord. Oh, Moses, you better back down. They might go ahead and stone you. You don't need to talk like this. Oh, he's already proved you. He don't care what they think and what they say. He's going to say what God tells him to say. That's what we must do. Well, I don't want to lose their friendship. Well, what kind of friend are you that you won't tell them the truth? And because they're opposing themselves. His conditions, you've turned away from the Lord. His conditions, his timetable of repentance, reconciliation. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you. Why? Because if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But they presumed to go up the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Didn't work. Oh, praise God. We're talking about repentance, aren't we? We're talking about being right with God. And I'll talk some more when I get these pages apart. 45, then the Amalekites came down, the Canaanites which dwell on the hill, and smote, defeated them, and pursued them even to Horma. Repentance is a gift granted by God that is dependent upon his working in us and our being obedient. I don't believe that we should or can command God to do anything. Rather, the scripture commands us to ask in Jesus' name in faith and then obey. The same is true of repentance. We're to ask for it in faith and then obey. Look at the prodigal son. He's there. He messed up. He wasted his substance, riotous living, went to a far country. He's there. The famine comes. He joins himself to a citizen of that country. All the church is doing that, joining itself to this whole system here that we're in. Try to get their favor, thinking that's going to work. Put more people and numbers and money in their church. But he didn't come out to be separate, but he joined. And he sent him out to the fields to feed the swine. That's what the world will do with us. To be like Samson when we grinding at the mill with our eyes plucked out. He would have gladly filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat and no man gave him. And he came to himself. Oh, that God, that we would come to ourselves. And he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. There's that same principle. Against you and you only have I sinned. And I'm no more worthy to be called or considered your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Now, many have come to this juncture in their life. They realize it obvious that their sin has cost them more than they were expected or intended to pay. They desperately need some changes in their life. They need to repent. But many stop there, knowing that they are wrong. They need to change, be changed, yet they will not and cannot follow through. Is that where you're at? Just looking for somebody that can do it for you. But you're going to have to do some things. Will this prodigal son follow through, or will he languish on until time he does not possess the strength to arise and go and repent? Well, you know, he got up and went. And his father met him. And he starts repenting. and the Father fully restores him. Thank God, doesn't he fully restore us? He fully restores him. Now, notice this one very important step in repentance. It's not automatic. Rather, it must be granted. When he got there, the Father made the decision. Am I going to forgive you or not? Am I going to? Here we are. We're coming like the prodigal son. We stink. We smell. We look awful. We're thin. We've been through the mill because we made wrong choices. We sin. I made a wrong choice. No, you sin. You know. Okay, so here we are. What's the Father going to do? He grants him repentance. Oh, hallelujah. What a beautiful picture that is. Repentance is not of our own design and will. We just go to the Father. Hear what he's got to say. It's not automatic. Praise God. Just because we mouth some words or we think we're supportive of repentance does not mean that we're automatically granted repentance. It's the same with worship. Just because we mouth some words, sing a song, whatever, and move our body to a tune does not automatically assure us that our efforts have been accepted. Remember Cain? He tried it and didn't work, did it? It was his own method or agenda of worship. Now, just because we suddenly find our long-ignored Bible, or we suddenly discover the church building again, does not mean that we automatically are granted repentance. There is only one who can grant repentance, and that is God, the Heavenly Father, for it is against him and him only have we sinned. Praise God. In 1 Kings 21:27, it came to pass when they had heard these words of coming judgment, that he rent his clothes. He put on sackcloth on his flesh, and fasted and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. Isn't that beautiful? He went softly. I tell you, a truly repentant person walks softly, goes softly. If I discipline when I did my children, now my grandchildren, and they don't start walking softly, I don't care what they say, it is not real. If you and I really repent, we will go softly. Softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite saying, see, you have Ahab humbles himself before me, before God. Because he humbles himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days. But there are requirements that must be met before we're granted repentance. There are outward requirements to be met. Praise God. Exodus 33:4. When the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. For because the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of you in a moment and consume you. Therefore now put off your ornaments from you, that I may know or decide what to do with you. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by Mount Horeb. If you're still laughing and dressing like a clown, and I don't mean like a clown, but you know, you still, no, there's no repentance there. There's no repentance. You're gonna go soft if you're repenting. You're gonna say, God, what do you want me to do? God, tell me what to do. I will do it, God, because I want you to grant me repentance. I want your presence to come back. Whatever, Lord, whatever. Matthew 3, therefore bring forth fruit worthy of or in keeping with repentance. That's what John the Baptist said before I baptize you. You're going to prove you're repentant. I should have done that with a lot of people I baptized. There are inward requirements to be met. Psalm 51:16, for you desire not sacrifice, else I would give it. You delight not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Our churches need to have a broken spirit in them. We need to, our family does. We need to live with a broken and contrite spirit. That's what God's looking for. And laughing and joking and cutting up and doing all that stuff is not a broken spirit, excuse me. And I don't want to go to a church like this, a production. Where's the brokenness? People say, oh, God's in here. I think God was there, they'd be on their face. They wouldn't be hopping and jumping around and doing all that stuff. We cannot repent of or by our own wisdom and strength. It's only by his wisdom and strength, just as all things are of him and by him. We're repeatedly told in the scripture that the faith that works is not our faith, but rather it's the faith of Christ. We can only have faith in Christ by the faith that originates and comes from Christ. and it's implanted in our hearts by hearing the Word of God. You'll find that in, well, just a whole bunch of scriptures. Yes, I realize that modern translations, now listen, change the wording to faith in Christ. See, Romans 3.22, Galatians 2.16.20, Ephesians 3.12, Ephesians 3.9, James 2.1, Revelation 14.12 says the faith of God. But most of the modern translations will say faith in God. Doesn't that change the whole meaning? Well, certainly it does. There's a big difference between having the faith of God and having faith in God. Who are these people that are writing these new translations? Yes, I realize they do that, rather than saying faith of Christ. I also realize the reason that these modern translations are doing that is because they're void of understanding and revelation of the Scriptures. Here's what they do. They have an agenda and they want to come to a certain conclusion on this, so they choose the words. Listen, Greek and Hebrew, it's been a long time, folks, way back there. Even our own English language is constantly evolving. Is that right? Meaning different things. Like when I grew up, yay means something besides what it means now. A lot of words like that mean something different. And here's these guys come along, they go to seminary or whatever, and they study Greek and they study that. And so they come and see there's so many different meanings. You can translate the word so many different ways. And they pick and choose so they can come to the conclusion they want to. When they're writing these new translations. They have an agenda. How important is repentance? There can be no deliverance unless first we're granted repentance. Oh, praise God. Well, I can't believe that. It's 12 o'clock. Thank you, Jesus. Will you stand with me? I'll do it next time. Let's stand. If you haven't really repented, I wouldn't go very long without doing it. As God spoke to your heart this morning, listen, I know this is hard. Please believe me, it's hard for me to preach it. It's like you tell your kids, oh, this hurts me more than it hurts you when you're spanking them. You'd rather not do that. But you do it because you love him. Amen? Because you love him. Father, please help us. God, where is our broken and contrite spirit? Where is the mourning over our sin? Where is the true repentance? God, oh God, why don't we seek your favor instead of believing in unmerited favor? God, would you grant repentance to us? Would you, Lord, Holy Spirit, grant repentance to us? God, so many things in our lives could be righted, wrongs righted, if we just repent and repentance be granted to us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God, oh God, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord says this morning, the Lord says, I love you, but I cannot change my word for you. I must and I cannot change my word. I cannot deny myself. It must be this way, but if you'll obey me, joy will come again, peace will come again, I'll grant you repentance. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. For the glory of God, for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing a chorus and then we'll... This is like Brother Merrill was talking last night. Hard to stop here. Hard to stop here. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So good. Great salvation.
Thank you for this great salvation, where people are truly repentant and truly changed, and the blood of Jesus truly covers all our sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.